Our Father, we thank you for tonight. With hearts full of thanksgiving, we receive your word in faith, expecting revelation, insight, faith, healing in our hearts. As we buy your word, restore, strengthen, build, and fix relationships, even our perspective. We ask that we will be smart receivers of your word. We will engage the truth of your word, the wisdom of the Spirit therein. We ask that in revelation our hearts immersed in your word. No confusion. No doubt survive the teaching of your word, but there's clarity, precision, accuracy, and we need it together, build up together as a church in the word of faith. Yep. A walk of faith, a walk in handling the precious gifts of association with one another is being much more precise. We ask tonight as we see Jesus in your word, we ask to see ourselves the way he sees us in him. Yep. Questions and answers, dark areas, gray areas, have light shed upon them. You have to know that together, straighten out in our heart. There's precision. We all edify as your name is glorified tonight. We ask to receive this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're looking at Matthew's gospel. Hallelujah. Matthew 28. He says in 18, all power is given unto me. I mean, that was what he kept saying. Jesus came and said unto them, seeing all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, as the all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And then back up, said, God will fulfill his plan on the earth through relationships. See that in Matthew 28 we just read. In Matthew's Gospel chapter 18, Matthew 18, again, Jesus, a master at relationships. Hallelujah. Amen. I didn't say Jesus was a married counselor or consultant. I didn't say Jesus was a married counselor. I said he is a master of relationships. There's more to relationships than marriage. Are we together? Are we together? It's God's plan. In Matthew 18 and then in verse 18, verily I say unto you, he says, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. What are you binding? What are you losing? It says in 15, if thy brother shall trespass against you. So he calls thee. He says, you go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he shall hear you, thou hast gained your brother. Hear means to hearken, to be persuadable. Hallelujah. So it means there is gain in being persuadable. Are we together? It says you have gained your brother. Later on, he calls that gain of your brother binding and losing. That gain of your brother, he calls it, I am in the midst of it. So God is to advantage in relationships. So you have to be persuadable. You know, I've come across some Christians who are very unpersuadable folks. Once the mind is made up, you cannot change it. Are we together? You know, the very fact that you can pray, amen, you know, the scriptures, when we go from Genesis to Revelation, very precisely the Old Testament books of the Bible, Genesis to Malachi, the scripture seems to present God as somebody that you can persuade to change his mind. Something like that. There's a way the scripture presents God, you know. There's a way the scripture presents the character of God as someone who can be persuaded. Can be persuaded. You know. So being persuadable is to be godlike. To be persuadable when it comes to the things of God. You know, James was saying, James 1, it says, lay aside all fittiness, superfluity of naughtiness. It says, receive the word with meekness, the engrafted word. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which hath built your soul. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So, again, James talked about being persuadable. So, the believer ought to be persuadable when it comes to reconciling. Reconciliation, when it comes to forgiveness, a believer in Christ, the spirit that God has given us is a spirit of persuadableness, a persuadable heart. The Spirit of God begins to work on our hearts to make us persuadable in the things of God. So a Christian ought to be persuadable. Hallelujah. A Christian ought to be persuadable. That means when it comes to forgiveness, when it comes to reconciliation, when it comes to walking in love, when it comes to doing the Word of God, when it comes to acting on the Word of God, a Christian ought to be persuadable. Hallelujah. Alright, so that's a giveaway. Quickly. So Jesus in Matthew 19, he says in verse 3, mean Pharisees came to him, asked him question, is it lawful to put away, that for a man to put away his wife for every cause? He said, and he answered unto them, today have you not read, and he who made them at the beginning, then made them be with me. He said, and said, for this cause shall a man, he says, leave the father and mother, and cleave unto his wife, and the twain shall be one flesh. Hallelujah. Wherefore, they are no more twin, but one flesh. What therefore God joined together, he says, let no man put asunder. Verse 7. He says, they said unto him, why did Moses then command to give the writing of the divorcement to put away? And he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. Hallelujah. So what is the beginning? The beginning is, he said in verse 4, make them at the beginning. So he references Genesis. The beginning occurs twice in this text. It occurs in verse 8 and then in verse 4. Verse 4 and then verse 8, he mentions the beginning. So he says, when he made them male and female, he says, God was setting a principle from the beginning. He says, it was not so. So we took on that text from the beginning. We saw Genesis chapter 1. Then verse 27. We said 27 doesn't stand alone. So we said 26. In 26, therefore, he said, God said, let us make man in our image. So we said the word Selem there is a functional identity. You know, man will function in an identity. That identity is referred to as the image of God. Hallelujah. So we said quite a number of things about what we said was that man would therefore first be in a relationship with God. God created man for relationships. For the first relationship, but the first relationship that man is going to develop is not with a fellow man. The first relationship that man is expected to develop is relationship with God. Are we together? He says, let us make man in our image. Let us make humanity in our image. So corporately, we got to develop our relationship with God. And individually, we also have to develop our relationship with God. And our individual relationship with God does not exclude a corporate relationship with God. So in my individual work with God, other people are involved. What we usually call my work with God must involve others. Are we together? Think about that for a second. In the second word. So look at that. What I call, how many of you have used that statement before? You've used that statement before, my work with God. Or my relationship with God. How many of you have used that statement before? Alright. You use that statement, or you've had someone say that before, my relationship with God. You know, some folks say, how did they put it again? They say something like, Christianity is a thing of the heart. Is between you and God. People say that sometimes. Is that Christianity is between you and God? Well, that is not true. That's not true. The Bible doesn't teach that. In fact, if you are a good thinker, you will discover you didn't even get saved alone between you and God. Someone brought the gospel to you, yes or no? Yes or no? Many of you, when you spoke with tongues, are we together? Someone was there.
to teach you
or to pray with you.
To pray with you.
The Bible that you're reading today, God used more than 1,000 men to put it together in the very language you're reading it. Praise the Lord. So, what you call my walk with God, my relationship with God, must involve others. Hallelujah. So, quickly look at our text. In Genesis 1:26, it says, let us make man in our image. Our image. Tell them, our image. So, man will function. Amen? To, because of our study, we focus on fellow man. So, fellow man on behalf of God. So, I will show you what God is like. That means God expects his character to be discovered from a fellow man. His character. Glory to God. His character. Praise God forevermore. His character. God expects the world. Look at this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So God's love for the world is in that God sent a man. God's love for the world is in that God sent a man. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. God sent a man. In 1 John 4 verse 8, he said, he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Hallelujah. God is love. God is love. Now when he says God is love, I expect that you understand the text. He's not saying God is love. Are we together? So I'm saying, instead of saying I love you, the best is I guard you. I think that's madness. Hallelujah. Someone told me that before. I just said, what's it? I guard you. Are you okay? Praise God. When he says God is love, he's talking about the character of God. God's nature. He's not saying God's identity. It is God's nature. God's character. His love. He now explains that love. So it's not a careless affection. He explains that love in the same text, 1 John, hallelujah, chapter 4, verse 9 now. He now says, he says, verse 9, in this was manifest the love of God. So it says, God is love. In this was manifested the love toward us. Because God sent forth his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. He sent forth, he says, his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So he said, if God so loved us, verse 11, we ought also to what? Love one another. See, I love my neighbor. Glory to God forevermore. So in loving our neighbor, we are functioning as God's image or in God's image. Now what kind of love? Is you need to study the love. Hallelujah. Let's go a little bit further in what we've said so far. So quickly, he says, man in my image. So man will function. The function of man on the earth. Oh. I know you are an engineer. I know you are a lawyer. You are probably a doctor in making. You know, you are a trader. Or you train people. You probably an engineer. Or you work in the market. There is what you do as your profession. Right? Everyone is aspiring. Some say, oh, I'm into tech. And that's cool. Amen? Some people are not into tech. They are just technical. Are we together? That's okay. We met a technical person before. Glory to God. So there is what we are aspiring to become. And that's okay. You have ambitions. Some of you don't know, some people don't know what they want to become. They just want to have money. See, I shall know that. And we have money. If you say, how? You say, I shall know that. That's also okay, even though you should know. Amen. Are we together? All right. Have a working plan. Is it clear? Tell anybody you have a plan. All right. So, the plan can change, but have one. Okay? So, there is what we are aspiring to be. And if you are a healthy human being, if you, one of the signs that you have a healthy childhood is that you are going to have ambitions. If you don't have ambitions in your life, that means you don't have, you didn't have a healthy childhood. It's just normal. It's normal. God is not against ambition. Are we together? Nope. He's not against ambition. God is not against having a plan to be prosperous materially, to be impactful in your world, to transform lives, to probably create products or create services, or get involved in associations, in bodies, organizations, or in a career, or, you know, in a worldly venture. Are we together? The word worldly doesn't mean sinful. God is not against you getting involved in a worldly venture that can transform the society. I mean, God gave you brain so that the whole world can enjoy the brain. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? He gave you brain. So there is what we long to be. If you ask someone today, you say, what's your goal? The person will say something positive. I mean, I've never found someone who says, what's your goal in life? The person says, I just want to be worse. He said, what the hell is it? He said, I don't know, but I feel like I'm too good currently. I just want to be worse than I am. No. I mean, everybody wants to be better. Praise God. You have one pair of shoes, one have two, right? You have one pair of suit, you don't have. You have a pair of suit, one half. Best. You work in an organization, you make some money. So you want to get gigs earning dollars. Dollar. Even though it's 2026, you're going to feel the dollar. Are we together? Praise God. He's going to tax you. Amen. All right. Praise God. But I mean, everyone wants to be better, isn't it? And that's okay. And something is wrong with you if you don't want to. But look at this. God created you and I for a purpose. So, whatsoever you are thinking, whatsoever you are planning, whatever exposures you are gaining, and what it is making you to think and to dream, you must bear in mind that there is a singular purpose that God wants you to carry out. That is the reason for humanity. He wants, or He created man to function as His image. Reflect the Father. Are we together? So that is the reason for salvation. That is the reason. It becomes the reason for the Holy Ghost. It becomes the reason for the Holy Ghost. Functioning in the image of God is what you could not do without the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Functioning as the image of God is something you cannot do without the Holy Ghost. You cannot do it without the Holy Ghost.
Look at Hosea
quickly. Hosea. Hosea chapter 11. Praise God. Now Hosea is immediately after Daniel. Alright? You're looking for Hosea. And if you're looking for Daniel, you'll find it immediately after Ezekiel. Right? And if you're looking for Ezekiel, you will find it immediately after what now? Up? After what? After what? Lamentation. Lamentation after what? Jeremiah. So you hit Jeremiah, right? Lamentation, right? Ezekiel, then what? Daniel, then what? Hosea. Look at Hosea 11. Quickly. Are you in Hosea now? Right. In Hosea, look at verse 1. Hosea 11, 1. It says, when Israel was a child, then I did what? Loved him. And called my son out of what? Out of Egypt. Did you see that? So God called Israel his son. Like I said on Sunday, that Israel was therefore going to mirror God's character amongst the nations. Israel was going to mirror God's character among the nations. But don't forget what we said. We said whatsoever was the Israel plan, that will reveal to you what plan? What plan? The Israel plan is reflective of what? Humanity plan. Does that make sense to you? Okay. The Israel plan is simply reflective of the humanity plan. Humanity plan. So, it means, look at this. Humanity, amen, male and female, right? Right? Humanity, male and female, would therefore be called, pay attention, I didn't say they are called. I said, that is what, look at this, the, you know, there is the reality, there is the ideal. Are we together? So that would be the ideal. So the ideal thing, that is the plan. God's intention. So the Israel plan is to reflect what? Humanity plan. So if God called Israel my son, that means God's intention is that humanity will be addressed as who? My son. Are we together? Male and female, right? Now, when it says Israel is my son, is it male and female? Answer the question. Is it male and female? Answer the question. Look at Exodus 4 quickly. Exodus 4. If you are there, say amen. Oh. So let's read verse 22. Are we there? Everybody? Verse 22. Can we read loudly? So my what? Son, right? Israel. The nation of Israel, God calls what? My son. Male and female? Were there kids there? Oh, there wasn't kids. You're not paying attention. Were there kids there? Adults? Agents? Male? Female? Wait. Will they have different professions? Different professions? Lawyers? Engineers? Farmers? Builders? Traders? Livestock keepers? So, the Son of God is not a function of your profession. You see that? Or your gender. Amen. Or your material background. The Son of God is a function of God's plan. God's identity for you. So, male and female in Israel, look at verse 23, everyone. Verse 23. Exodus 4:23. Tell that brother to look into his Bibles. Exodus 4:23. Praise God. Won't you go? I say unto you, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy what? Firstborn. You see that? I will slay thy son, even your what? Your firstborn. And the slaying went across all Egypt. So when God uses the word son, even if God is referring to an individual, there is a plan in an individual, in that individual, of a people. The Son of God is a people. So we said, the Israel plan will reflect the what? Humanity plan. So if God calls Israel, male and female, my son, that means in God's mind, can we say from the beginning up, in God's intention, the whole humanity which God created will be addressed as what? His son. Praise God. So you now see why Paul, in addressing the church, says we have received the spirit of what? Of sonship. And he's talking to the church of Jesus Christ, both male and what? Female. You see that? So, like I said, God's intention is fulfilled in Christ. In Christ. So, if you have people around you who are not born again, like I said on Sunday, they dwell in confusion. They dwell in a spiritual state of darkness, of confusion. So look at this. He says, let us make man in our image. Who is the image of God? In John's Gospel, chapter 5. John 5. The image of God. John 5. Glory to God forevermore. Look at something there. He says, in verse 19, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son cannot do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for whatsoever he doeth, this also doeth the Son likewise. So the Son reflects the Father. Put out of your note. The Son reflects who? The Father. 20. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that he himself doeth. Look at this. Does this look like what God was doing with Israel? So he sends who? Moses. To show Israel what God is what? Doing. Now, look at it. To show Israel what God is doing with Israel, or doing on the earth, or both. Okay, so what God is doing on the earth, but will do through Israel. So look at this. The Son of God has access to revelation. Revelation of what the Father is doing, the Father's plan. So the Son has access to revelation of the Father's plan. Say, I have access to revelation. Hallelujah. Now, revelation to the Father's plan, will that be revelation to his identity? So the Son does not know who he is without revelation. Revelation. So look at this. I'm talking about the office of the Son now. He says, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raised up the dead,
and quickeneth him. Even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. That all men should honor the Son even as the Father, as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that hear my word, believe on him that sent me, have everlasting life, and shall not come to condemnation, but depart from death unto life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now look at this in verse 26. For as the Father had life in himself, so had he given to the Son to have life in himself. And had given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Now if you read on, he said, I cannot of my own self do nothing but steadies. I hear judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the Father, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I be a witness of myself, my witness is not true. There's another, there'll be a witness of me, and I know the witness which bears me is true. You send John and bear witness unto the truth, but I receive no testimony from man. He said, but this thing say I, that he might be saved. He was a burning and a young lad, you were willing for him to rejoice in the light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the work which the Father has given me to finish the same work that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. The Father himself which has sent me has borne witness of me. He need I his voice at any time, nor is it in his shape. He said that you have not his word bad in you, for whom he said, you him you believe not. He said, said the scripture for them, you have things that have life. He said, and they justify of me, you will not come to me that you may have life. I receive the honor of a man from men, but I know you that you have not love of God in you, and come my Father's name. He said, then you receive me not. If I shall come in his own name, you will you receive. How can you believe which receive one of them from another? Then he says in 45. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accused even Moses whom you trust. Why do you believe Moses? You that believe me for the root of me. But if you believe God's writing, he says, how shall you believe my word? So Jesus says to believe in me. Because he is the Son of God. He says the Father's will is reflected in him. Now the writer of Matthew did justice to that. The Son. In Matthew, now John focuses on Jesus, the Son of God, the Word. Matthew is Jesus now focusing on himself and the church. So what we read in John chapter 5 concerning Jesus and the Father, Matthew in chapter 5 extends it, are we together, to Jesus and the Father through the church. Jesus and the Father through the church. Matthew chapter 5 brings the church into the equation. In Matthew's Gospel chapter 5, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now if you read on, he says in verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt lost its savor, where we shall it be salted? If it is therefore henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. See, I am the light of the world. A city that is set on high cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel, but on the candlestick, give a light, it says, to all that are in the house. Let the light so shine before men that they may see your good works, glorify your Father which is in heaven. Hallelujah. It means that the Father is glorified in my works, because my works magnifies the Father. My work amplifies the Father. My works make the Father known. Ignore verse 17. That I am come to destroy the Lord prophet. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass one jot or one title shall no wise from the Lord till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments shall teach men, so he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except the righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, you shall in those case, he says, enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 21. You have heard that it was said of them by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without the cause shall be in danger of judgment. Whosoever shall set his brother Raka shall in danger be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hellfire. 23. Therefore, if thou bring to the altar, he says, remember that thy brother hath ought against thee, leave thy gift before the altar. Go thy way. He says, be reconciled to your brother and come again to offer thy gift. Again, with the adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, left then time the adversary to the valley to judge. The judge delivered it to the officer cast in his prison. He says, verily I say unto you, he says, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the utmost farthing. 27. You've heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say unto thou shalt look it upon the woman who lost her committed adultery, with her already in his heart. The rider offended, plucking, is he cast it from thee, for probably that one member of the house shall perish? Not that thy whole body should be cast into the hellfire. Now, for time's sake, look at verse 37. 37 now. Let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. He says, for whatsoever is more than this cometh of evil. You've heard that it be said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I see also you, thou shalt not receive the evil. He says, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, he says, take away thy cloak, let him have thy cloak also. Whosoever shall compel the good man, go with him trade. Give it to him, he says, I ask thee, and from him thou would borrow unto or from thee. He says, turn not thy way. You've heard it have been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy, but I say unto you, love your enemies. He says, bless them that cause you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. 45. That ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he may get the sun to rise on the good and even the good. He says, send rain to the just, he says, and the unjust. On the unjust. If you love them with love you, what reward have you? Do not the publicans the same? But if you salute the brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even publicans so? But be ye what? Perfect. Be ye therefore what? Even as your Father what? Which is in heaven is what? Perfect. So when it says be ye therefore perfect, the perfection is in love. Loving as God loves. Hallelujah. So he brings in the church right from verse 13 and 14 when it says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Say, I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. So look at that. Man will function as God's image. I will learn God's character in my relationships, or men will learn God's character in my relationships. Men will learn God's character in my relationships. Let me get a little bit further. Last week, we saw, on Sunday morning now, we saw the word seller, right? Now I said, we should check out some texts. And I got some reports, okay? Some came in quite late, I couldn't check through, but I got some reports as early as Monday and Tuesday. I was able to see through and I responded, and we had quite some conversation with those individuals. Alright. I was on those conversations for about 2 hours with different people, and we're talking about teller, personal chance though. So look at this. We saw teller, right? And someone categorically told me, says, I think it's actually a fast-way building. And I said, we're going to see it together. Not in this study, obviously, but as a study room. We saw the word teller, right? Right? We said it refers to what? The part of a temple. Because Moses' discussion in Genesis 1 and 2 is likened to the temple plan. I'm going to explain that to us at Christ Salvation Committee. Detailly. It's a temple plan. We're going to look at Genesis 1 to Genesis 12. And we're going to see that Genesis 1 to 12 was a teaching on the temple. So he kept on using different scenarios. Definitely, the event in Genesis 1 to 12 was not all of the event happening on earth. We've said Genesis 1 and 2, you're reading a lot of things figurative. But as from Genesis chapter 3, the writer began to choose specific events. Specific. And why does he choose specific events? We said that the writer was teaching an audience, Israel. Now, if you're teaching an audience and you choose specific events, it means those events communicate what you want to teach. Are we together? Like I told you, the book of Genesis was not written with you in mind. Are we together? That's why it was not written in Yoruba. Are we together? Alright. So it had an audience in mind. So Moses had what he wanted to communicate to that audience. So he chose the things he wrote. The incidences, the narratives, the stories, the scenes, even his use of words, because he's a teacher. So he's communicating something. He chooses the words he uses. He chose the scenarios. Even in the genealogy, Moses was not interested in how many people were on the earth. Moses focused his genealogy on men who were useful in God's plan, including Methuselah. We're going to see that in February. Yes, Methuselah. Methuselah was one of the strongest prophets. I know you've been taught that Methuselah, so he said, the way I was growing up, he said, Methuselah lived 900 and something, he said, something, yes. He said, we even used to pray that, he said, we say it in Yoruba, we'll be praying to God, oh God, don't let my life be like life of Methuselah. They now say it's like a snake that walks on the rock and there's no trace. You must be stupid to make that statement. Yeah. Or ignorant. Don't let me use the word. Stupid looks hard. You must be ignorant. If you look into Methuselah, you're going to bow. And it's right there in the Bible text. It's because your attention is not on studying God's plan. You're just looking for scenarios. You already have your own doctrine. So you're looking for text to paint it. That's why you miss out major truths. But if you pick the scriptures by themselves, just to see the wealth in them, you see more. You see more. Methuselah was one of the greatest prophets of God in the scriptures. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah. He even prophesied. He prophesied what took place around Noah. Amen. He was the one who named, what's his name now? Enoch. And that was a prophet. We'll look at that some other times. So Moses chose the scenes, okay? Because he was trying to teach something. He chose the words he used, including the word reap. He chose the words. He chose the illustrations. Now, have you wondered why Moses, look at it, have you wondered why Moses chose the garden story? Why did he choose the garden? Moses is teaching the people. Are we together? He's teaching the people. Amen. Did you get it? Did you get it? Moses is what? Teaching. So, he had something in mind that he wanted to transfer, he wanted to communicate. Are we together? So, look at this. What is your work as a Bible student today? Go and find out what's in Moses' mind. How are you going to know? Study the teaching. Genesis 1, 2. 3. If you sit down with it prayerfully, you will understand, okay, Moses was communicating something to the audience so that they would get it. He chose certain words so that they would get it. He used certain illustrations and did not use some others. Just like any teacher would do today. Because I'm the one wanting to communicate something to you. Are we together? Did you get it? You are not the one that will determine the illustrations I use. No. I am the one who is going to determine the illustrations that I use. Because I am the one who wants to communicate something to you. Did you get it now? So Moses is communicating something to them. Now, the book of Exodus, you know, I'm going to talk about this more at the conference, okay? All right. So, but it's going to be interesting. So you see, the book of Exodus is going to open to us. See, the Genesis, are we together? Genesis is built on Exodus. I told you that. Well, it depends on the way you see it. Genesis is built on Exodus. Exodus is built on Genesis. Depends on the way you see it. But I'm telling you that the Exodus is the activity. The Genesis is the reason. The reason for the activity, the event of Exodus is the Genesis. So if Moses is coming to Exodus to teach, his teaching is the Genesis. He's communicating the Genesis. Glory to God. He's communicating the Genesis plan. Moses is communicating the Genesis plan. The intention of God. That's what Moses is communicating. Communicating. Why? Because God has called the people, and God is about to give them an assignment. So Moses is bringing the assignment to them. That assignment that is given them in Exodus is what we see in Genesis. Is it clear? Now, in that assignment, you are going to see history. In that history, you are going to see theology. That theology will unveil the plan of God. So, history conveys theology. Just like we see in the four Gospels, we are reading the historical accounts of Jesus, but we are also learning the plan of God. So the theology, the knowledge of God, is present in history. Is it clear? Is it clear? The plan of God is present in what? In what? In history. Look at me, everybody. Look at me. See. Now, real life. Real life. You mustn't forget the things that God takes you through. He wants you to learn from it. He wants you to learn from it. You mustn't forget. Don't forget. Don't look at it. Look at me, everybody. Look at me. You go low on cash. And then you needed to do something and it's running late. And you low on cash. Then you try to talk to people. And the resource is not forthcoming. Or maybe you're getting yourself into a kind of trouble. And then you're getting stuck. And then you prayed. And then something happened that you know is a miracle. You must be a kind of human being that doesn't forget those kind of things. Because you are not going to be different from Israel in how they frustrated God's plan. You're not going to be different. You're not going to be different. One way to not frustrate God's plan. That means, look at it. Look at what it means to frustrate God's plan. God wants to pass, and then you stand in the way.
And in those days, how can I stand in the way? A whole God. No, that's how powerful you are. That's how powerful you are. That's how what? That's how powerful you are. So God wants to pass, and then you stand in the way. And God wants to pass, and then you stand in the way. Are we together? I don't stand in the way. I get behind. Do you get it? Do you get it? What do you do? Now, you know, it's not like the get behind me, Satan. It's not like I want. Are we together? This is a different get behind now. I fall in line. I fall in alignment. Are we together? As a friend of mine, he sang this song. I fall in alignment with the angel of my death. Are we together? Are we together? I fall in line. Say in the name of Jesus. I fall in line. Beyond my common sense. Say it. Say beyond my common sense. I fall in line. Beyond my skills. I fall in line. With all my wisdom. I fall in line. You must always fall in line. Is it clear? Is it clear? Is it clear? If you don't fall in line, look at it. Look at it. The world, Satan, is going to whoop. You know what I mean? I might want to fall in line. It's happening to many Christians all over the world. I fall in line. Is it clear? Is it clear? That means when troubles come or difficulties come, are we together? I know I'm in line with the Lord. That means the Lord has gone before me. Is it clear? Is it clear? The Lord has gone before me. Glory to God forevermore. He has gone before me. There is no obstacle. Have you read about the story of the mountain and Zerubbabel? Have you read the story? Have you read the prophecy? Zerubbabel and the mountain. Go and read biblical stories. He says, who art thou, right? He says, who are what? Who are thou? Who what? Mountain. Before what? Is he really before Zerubbabel or before the Lord? Is he really before Zerubbabel or before the Lord? He's before the Lord. But look at this. Zerubbabel was falling in line. Is it clear? So learn your place. Learn your place. So look at it. I don't stand in the way. Hallelujah. I don't stand in the way. 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 All right. I'll come back to that later. So look at this. Moses was teaching something. And because of what he was communicating to his audience, he chose the scenarios you are reading. So, as we are reading Genesis 1, 2, 3,
as we are reading Genesis 4 and 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, Genesis 11. Bear in mind that the essence of reading is to understand what Moses is communicating. So we said that Moses' teaching, Genesis 1 to 11, was to communicate the temple plan. How God will turn the whole earth into His what? Into His temple. He declared. Go back and read those texts with that mindset. You see how much comes out of it. You're going to laugh as you're reading. Give me 10 minutes, I'll close tonight. Look at this. We saw the word Selah. We saw it refers to the site of a building. So we said that the woman and the man are two sides of humanity. That was why Moses said male and female created his humanity. Look at me today. Do you think that if we stay on that thought, we will be able to resolve questions around transgender? Do you know what transgender is? What is transgender? Now, are we going to be able to fix today's gender chaos with God's thought from the beginning? So you can see how much Genesis 1 and 2 holds. Even in our world today. And someone say, the Bible is 6,000 years old. How can a 6,000 year old material be relevant? You know, how can a material be relevant for 6,000 years? The world has changed. The world has changed. The people that wrote it are dead. Even the languages that they wrote it, the languages that advanced, a lot of things, all in a bit to liquidate or liquefy all in a bit to make obsolete or to render obsolete those scriptures. You see, the fact that something is 6,000 years old does not make it irrelevant. Is it clear? Something can be 6,000 years old and still be needed today more than it was needed 6,000 years ago. Is it getting? So, it's a weak argument, dead on arrival. You know what I mean? Dead on arrival. Dead on arrival. How can the Bible is 6,000 years old. I said, how can something that was written 6,000 years old, 6,000 years ago, be relevant today? See, the Word of God knows no time frame or age. And let me ask you, how old is the sun? Can you tell? How old is the sun? Can you tell? Is the sun still relevant today? How old is the moon? Is this irrelevant today? Water on the earth, is this irrelevant? Thank you. Are we together? God's word is relevant. Is it clear? Relevant. So look at this. Male and female created them. Sides of the temple. So humanity is God's temple, and there are two sides to it, male and female. What have we said? We said a woman or a man, none of them is lesser than the other in the image of God. There is no distinction because of their genders. The gender of man does not bring a distinction in the image of God. It just tells you that in that image,
two identities to it, or two genders to it, male and female. Male and female is the image of God. Hallelujah. Now look at Genesis 1 again. In 26, verse 26 to 28, with Genesis 1 to 26, we said that when he says, let him have dominion, we said, whose dominion will that be? God's dominion, right? Right? So, God is going to have a king on the earth. Pay attention. God is going to have a king on the earth. And God's king on the earth will be who? Man or humanity? So God is going to have a king on the earth, or God is going to have kings on the earth. God is going to have what? Kings on the earth. But notice that the king of God is not dominating men. Do you recall? Thank you. Look at something. Look at something. In Genesis 2, verse 15 and 16, if you read the 21, it says, God gave man, you know, made a deep sleep to fall upon him. We said that was a vision, right? So right there in Genesis, look at this. We see man functioning as a king. Or we see man in the image of God. Let me put it that way. The Genesis plan, don't forget, in the beginning it was not so. Or in the beginning this I should be. So the beginning plan in the intention of God is that man will be in his image. We'll pick it up from Sunday there. Man will be in his image. And man who is in the image of God will function as a king on the earth. Are we together? The image of God is the one who will function as a king on the earth. The image of God will function as a king on the earth. So look at me, everybody. Look at me. Now, what does the king do? Does the king exercise dominion? Answer me. So look at this. The function of a king is not to teach you. Now, pay attention. God's king will teach, but there's a reason why. He is not teaching as the king. He is teaching because he's also functioning in an office alongside with the kingly office. But he's not teaching as the king. As a king, he does what? He exercises what? Dominion. So in that dominion, or under that dominion, we do not see a fellow what? Man. Are you getting it? Are you getting it? Now if you look at the Genesis text again, he gave Adam a vision, right? 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 So he gives him a vision. So look at this. Man, now when he gives him a vision, look at what happens. He then said, God now brings, so that's a sight, right? So God now brings, he brings the creatures to man, which I told you is not literal. He brings the creatures to man. Then Moses said, whatsoever he calls it, so it was. And I told you that implied that man, pay attention, man understood the place of each of God's creation in creation. Man understood the place of each of God's creation in the whole of creation. The place of each creature. in creation. Man understood. Understood. Are we together? Now, by saying that whatsoever man called it, so it was. Amen? It shows you that, now let me bring, I don't want to bring the Spirit of God into it. I don't want to bring it to you now. Yeah, I would have said, by God's Spirit. But I'm going to leave the Spirit out. But for him to say that whatsoever man calls it, so it was. Notice something. Notice that you have seen the word called earlier. When God was distinguishing light from what? Darkness. Are you paying attention? Now, when God distinguished light from darkness, he said he called the light what? Day. He called the darkness. Darkness he called what? Night. Look at this. Then Moses said, and God saw that it was what? It was good. I told you the word good there is not the opposite of evil. The word good, it was good, is the Hebrew way of saying it is as it should be. This is fitting. So God saw it fitting that light and darkness should be separated. But notice that was not the sun. Are we together? That wasn't referring to 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. The light and the darkness that he's talking about in Genesis 1 was not referring to the physical light. But he says that the distinguishing, the difference, the separation between light and darkness, he says it is fit. Paul will later explore that text and says, what communion are light and darkness? So, order is God's creation. Write that somewhere. Order is God's creation. Now come back to me, I haven't written that. God saw that it was good. The separation of light from darkness, he saw that it was good. Amen? God calling it light, day, calling darkness night, he saw it was good. Are we together? So, the calling, amen, has to do with God's will. God's will. This is God's will. He used the same word call for what man now does. So it says in Genesis 2 that whatsoever man called it. Are we together? And the calling there has to do with speaking forth God's plan. To speak forth God's plan. It shows you that the man in the image of God, look at this, will also function by what? By what? Visions and revelations and prophecy. He will speak God's will. He will see what God is doing. God will show him what he's doing. Adam saw. Adam called it. Man will speak what God wants. Man will speak what God is doing, right? Man will also what? See. Now, the seeing, the speaking forth God's will is the office of a prophet. So the man who is in the image of God will function as a king, right? Answer me. It will also function as what? As what? A prophet. The man who is in God's image will speak forth on God's behalf. A prophet of God is God's mouthpiece. God's mouthpiece. He will call things the way God wants it to be. What God wants it to be, the way God wants it to function, he will call it. So the man
who is in the image of God will function as God's king. Is it clear? In the kingly office, he will have what? Dominion over forces contrary to God. Look at me, everybody. Look at me. It therefore means that as humanity relates with one another, right, we are going to, in harmony, in healthy relationships, dominate influences that are not of God. Where two or three are gathered, there I am, binding and loosing. Did you see that? Did you see that? So, in our relating with one another, we ought to see to it that influences that are not of God are what? Are what? Subdued. I need to close now. Did you get it? I didn't know if you get it. Are we dominating one another, or we are dominating on behalf of one another? On behalf of one another. Does this include sin? Can someone answer me tonight? Does it include sin? Sickness? Diseases? Worldly affections? Look at it. Look at me, everybody. Look at me. Look at me. What we are dominating forces, does it include discouragement? So if you are around me and you are functioning as you should, I should not be discouraged. You are not functioning. Or maybe I am not allowing you to what? To function in your office toward me. What we are dominating does include depression, discouragement, disappointment, right? So can you see what happens when you come into Sunday morning meeting? In the Sunday morning meeting, is it natural that discouragement will find its way back to hell? If we hold the service the way it should be, hell. And we are not stupid bringing comedians to the pulpit. Stupid. Instead of giving room to the things of the Spirit, being full of the Holy Ghost, we look for what can we do that will make the young people to come. Stupid. Someone says stupid. Stupid. The things of the Spirit. Is it clear? Look at it. Look at it. Look at the image of God. You have had five husbands. And the one that you're with. That means you have a perpetual chaotic marital relationship. You can be sure it was in her heart a disturbing fact. She lost her identity. Five husbands, five men had promised her. Five men. Disappointment upon disappointment. You imagine the state of that woman. One encounter, and it is finished. Look at the next thing she does. She goes into evangelize. She functions in her office immediately. We can have people come into our service one first timer, and they go out to function in their office. When we keep the meeting as it should be. When Israel gathered together all throughout Exodus, after they had left Egypt, every time they had to gather in their convocations, you read it throughout Exodus, you read it throughout, Leviticus. Just ask for the word congregation or convocation. Every time, God gave them instructions for how the meeting should go. As a church, you don't determine your services. God does. Because he determines what the people need. They are his people. Glory to God. Glory to God. So as I function in the king's office. So, you know, he says, I'm a king. What are you kinging? I'm a king and you're thinking of money. That's a worldly king. I'm a king and then you're proud. That's a worldly king. Praise God. Praise God! Did you get it? The king's office as we function. So in the church service, how many people functioning in the office of a king do we have? All right. Paul says, and every one of you has what? Has something. Is it clear? Has. All. Notice also that in 1 Corinthians 14, how many have tongues and interpretation? All. So we all function as prophets. Did you see that? All will function as what? So in God's plan, in the beginning, all are meant to function as kings who dominate addictions, who dominate drug abuse. Is it clear? And it is not by counseling. Rehabilitation. Thank God for the rehabilitation centers. When it comes and you lay hands. Is it clear? I don't know. Like I was saying to some of us some days ago, that you know, when we minister by the laying on of hands, we do more. Is it someone who is smoking? Are we together? Always having drug abuse as a habit, always smoking. Sometimes, see, all you just need is just get in few and lay hands. In that one time lay hands, many things fall. So you can pick up from that point later on. Many things fall. Many things, they fall. So they, I don't know, when it just comes upon me, I don't know what to do. I just have to, when you lay hands, it will fall. I think you're laying on of hands later. This laying on of hands will communicate to someone what it will take him 20 years to understand. So it's a fast approach. It's, you are sending something before the explanation comes. That's the hand. He sent someone was asking me about the apostles, was it called it? About the apostles ministering power of the Holy Ghost, right? I said, is that baptism? Just I lay hands on them. He sent it before the explanation comes. You can send it before the explanation comes. And I have to be full of the Spirit. Is it clear? So, in our relationships, we'll function as what? Kings. We'll also function as what? As what? Look at in number 17, when Joshua said that Eleb and Medad were outside the camp, what did Moses say? Moses said, woe to God that all of what? His people. Now, at that moment, how many people were prophesying? The 70, right? Within the camp. That means the 70 was not the plan. The plan is the whole nation of Israel. Is it clear? The plan is the whole nation. So God will have man, the man functioning in his image, will function in the office of what? Of a prophet. Now the third one we're going to see, and I'll build on that on Sunday, is that God now puts man in the garden. in the garden. And then he gives instruction to him. He says to dress and to what? And to keep. He uses two words. The word dress there is the word abad. Abad is a word used for worship. Abad is a worship language. It means to tend and attend to something. It means to worship something. To see to the needs of something. To worship it. That shows you, look at this. How will Moses talk about garden and he uses a temple language? It's because he's using the garden to communicate a temple plan. So he says to worship, the word abad, A-B-A-D. Then he says to keep. The word keep is the word shama. Shama is always used for your response to God's words. To obey, to watch, to heed, to pay attention. He says to dress and to keep the garden. In other words, God's plan for the garden, amen, is that the garden will fill the earth. Now, God put the garden on the earth, right? Right? God created the earth. He made a garden. Then he put man where? On the earth or in the garden? He put man where? On the earth or in the garden? He put man in the garden. He now said man should do what? Should dress and to keep. In other words, the garden will fill the earth. That means not all of the earth was the garden. Not all of the earth was the garden. But pay attention, God's plan is it to make the garden his temple or the earth the temple. So God's plan is to make the earth his temple. Right? Look at what he does. He gives, he makes a garden. He now puts man in the garden. So the garden will flourish and expand. That means at that moment, the garden describes the temple. The temple will therefore expand into all the earth. The plan is that the whole earth will be what? His temple. Right? 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 But the earth did not start out being what? His temple. So he creates the garden. Man is his what? Image. Man will dress and keep the garden, right? Until the whole earth is filled with what? With the garden. Or the whole earth becomes the garden. Did you see that? So when the whole earth becomes the garden, what has happened? As man subdued? As man replenished, yes? So when he says have dominion, the dominion is it within the garden or outside the garden? Outside the garden. So man is put in the garden, he will have influence across the earth. And that influence is that he will have dominion. But look at this. The essence of the dominion is so that the whole earth becomes what? Becomes what? The garden. So Paul will say, for example, in ministry, it is that the prophet, that all may profit, something like that. That all may profit. That all may profit. So it's for all. It's for all. Are we together? It's for all. So God's plan is all the earth. Amen. So the mission of God to man, when he says to dress and to keep the garden, can we call it a global mission? So does man have a global mission? Now see, there's a whole lot in that text. A whole lot. So man has a global mission, yes or no? Notice something. Notice how man was going to fulfill the global mission. By tending to what? The garden. So, see, You can't love the world more than God. Do what He has called you to do. His plan for the earth will be fulfilled. I've seen some people leave the work of ministry and start reaching out to the world in different ways. That is saying, people also need it. People need food. People need philanthropy. Calm down. You don't need the Holy Ghost to give people food. You don't need the Holy Ghost to engage in philanthropy. Philanthropy is not Christian ministry. Even though Christians can engage in what? Philanthropy. It is just pure humanity. That you see what is not adequate here and you make it what? Available. But there is a reason why you have the Holy Ghost. It is not philanthropy. What the Holy Ghost will do, man cannot do it without the Spirit. Anybody can do philanthropy. Even worldly organizations do it better than churches. Do you get what I'm saying? So, should churches engage in philanthropy? Yes, it's fine. But is that the mission of the church? No. Now, how deceived are you to now make the philanthropy your ministry? You have derailed. He was going to fill the OS, are we together, by simply tending to dress and to keep the garden. Now, the work of dressing and keeping the garden is simply the office of a priest. I probably showed that on Sunday. That is the office of a priest. So man will function as a priest. As a priest, he will function. That is why in Revelation, look at what he said. In Revelation, he says, God has made us to himself a kingdom of what? A kingdom of what? Kings and what? Priests. King and what? Priests. So the man in the image of God, the man in the image of God will function as king, right? Right? Will function as what? Prophet, right? What is the office of that prophet? He will see into the plan of God and he will what? He will be God's spokesman. Amen? Amen? So, he will see into the plan of God and he will be God's spokesman. And thirdly, man who is in the image of God will function as what? As what? A priest. What is the priest? The priest is the one who serves in the temple. Now, if he serves in the temple, look at this. As a prophet, he is God's spokesman, right? Right? So, will God king? Will he speak for God's plan? Look at me. Is he speaking for God's plan as a king? As God's what? Prophet. Right? Right? Now, a priest, will he teach the word? So is God king teaching? Is he teaching as a king? He's teaching as what? As what? As a priest. Look at it. As a priest, he puts wood to the fire to keep it burning. That's the word. To keep it burning. So the man in God's image has those three functions amongst what? One another. Will function as kings amongst one another. Will function as God's spokesman. And in functioning as a spokesman, we'll do that by revelation. Are we together? That's two. We will also do what? We will build the temple. We will serve in the temple. So that is why the King of God is a servant king. Now, when God calls Israel, look at it. How many people in Israel were supposed to be God's king? Is it all of Israel? All of Israel. But now, what happens when God now gave Israel a king? will happen. So you observe that by the time God gave or allowed them to have the king, right? God now began to give them what? Specifications for the one who will be what? The king. And all of these three things were present in the specifications. In other words, that is God saying, your king will be an example of a typical Israelite. So that every time Israelites sees their king, they will see who God wants them to what? To become. So the king of Israel will not function as a foreign king. The king of Israel will not take his identity from the other kings of the world like Solomon did. Because Solomon failed. Saul also failed. David did not fail. A man after my heart. He saw his kingship as God reigning through him. Are we together? Are we together? So God's plan for the king of Israel will be an example of a typical Israelite. So when all Israel sees their king, they are seeing their example. Is that a New Testament teaching on the pastor? On the pastor. Thank you. So look at this. While all are kings, God now picks one to model to all what they should all be. Did you get it? That is the office of the pastor today. That while all have the Spirit, have the ministry, the gift of the Spirit, God now chooses one to model what all should be. Like I told you, there's a whole lot in those texts. We'll take it one by one. But let me close here. So in the light of our study, the man in the image of God will function. Are we together? In Genesis 17 verse 6, God told him a kingdom of what? Genesis 17, look at it quickly. Genesis 17 verse 6. I'm sure you go by your notes. Read it. Verse 6, everybody. A nation of what? A nation of what? I will make a nation of thee. That is a nation from you, right? Can we read together? I want to go. Read on. So the whole nation will be what? Kings. A nation of kings. Look at Exodus 19. Quickly. That same audience that he is now teaching. Exodus 19. Everybody. Read it. We'll close. Exodus 19. Can we take verse 6 together? Exodus 19. One to go. A kingdom of what? Wait. A kingdom of priests. When he says a kingdom, are they kings? Are they kings? So kingdom. You don't use kingdom and priest together. They are two separate offices. But now he lumps it together. Kingdom of priests. So he said to Abraham, they will all be kings. The whole nation will be kings. Then he said to that audience as they were coming out, you are priests. So being kings, they will function as what? As what? As priests. In Genesis 35, quickly, Genesis 35. Are we together? Genesis 35, verse 11. Quickly, so we can close. Genesis 35:11. Once you go, God said unto him, I am God Almighty. So are they a nation of kings? Nation of kings? In Numbers, it is a, I woo to God all his people are what? Prophets. So the nation of kings, yes or no? Yes or no? Nation of prophets, yes or no? Nation of priests, yes or no? So we see plurality of kings, prophets, and priests in that nation. Now look at this. This is collected in Christ. And that is what God is building on the earth.
Apparently, at that moment, that was not what was happening on the earth. But that is God's plan. So God wanted Israel to be Eden that would spread. God wanted to make the whole earth His temple. Israel will now function as Adam, spreading God's plan everywhere, dressing and keeping the garden. Are we together? So if humanity is to function together as kings, dominion will not be over humanity. Dominion will be over forces and influences that are contrary to God's plan. That means whatsoever does not promote God's plan around me, are we together? I have a fellow believer to subdue. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. That is how we function in God's image amongst one another. Are we together? So Israel failed, obviously. Israel failed. So Jesus comes to fulfill that plan. What plan? From the beginning, a nation of kings, right? Right? All over the earth, right? Right? Now that king, is he a status or an assignment? An assignment, right? Right? Is he a functional identity? Are they functioning as priests? Are they functioning as prophets? Can you answer me, please? So Jesus comes to fulfill that. And he does it through relationships. Relationships. So dominion is not to subdue human beings. Wait for me. We are subduing other beings, not human beings. And in subduing other beings, look at me, we are stopping their influence over the lives of other men. That is how we function as kings. So look at this. Can we say evangelism is how we function as kings? Huh? 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 Evangelism? Right? Right? Functioning as kings through our prayer lives. Right? Right? Okay. So, to have dominion over whatever is contrary to God's plan is you functioning in your kingly office. Are we functioning as king toward God? No. We are functioning as king towards what? Fellow men. Thus, reflecting the image of who? Of God, who is the king over the whole world? The whole earth. Look at me, everybody. I close with you. When the scripture says King of Kings, he's talking about who? The Father of the new creation. The new creation is the King. Is it clear? Go and read those texts again. And go over those texts. Go and read those texts again. There's a King of Kings. The King of Kings is referring to God. Amen. The kings refers to what? Believers whom he has called to function in the office of king. He is called the chief shepherd, right? Because he, the chief shepherd, is God. The other shepherd is you and I, because he functions through us. We reflect his conduct. We reflect his character. How about that for some identity tonight? So in our relationships, God wants you to see yourself as a king. We said, as we see, you know, we will see ourselves the way he sees us, right? So he wants us to function as kings. That means I'm empowered of God. I'm equipped of God to stop influences that are contrary to God's plan. It includes sicknesses, diseases. It includes waves of oppression, discouragement, feelings that get hold on men and make them to do things that are not according to God's plan. I'm equipped of God to stop it. I'm equipped of God to stop it. Hallelujah. I'm equipped of the Father to what? To stop it. How do I stop it? I stop it through preaching. I stop it through teaching. Discipleship. When someone comes to you and says, Pastor, I said this, I didn't want to say it. Pastor, I did this, I didn't want to do it. Pastor, I responded and reacted this way, I didn't want to. Alright. What's the answer? You help the fellow out of it through teaching, right? Believer's authority through prayer, right? 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 Prayer, teaching. Prayer, teaching. Use of the believer's authority. Sometimes the laying on of hands. Laying on of hands. The gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit. You see, those things you can't do it from common sense. You can't counsel a man out of sin. How? It requires the power of the Holy Ghost. That is why only the man in Christ can function in it. That is full of the Spirit. Talk about the Spirit again in the morning. Is that clear, church? And I'm glad that through the Holy Ghost that dwells in me, I have that God-given privilege, authority, mirroring God's kingdom, affecting His dominion. Are we together? You know, we sang tonight, this evening, we said, we speak Jesus, right? Right? We said, over every word, anxiety. Over every evil emotion. Suicide is an evil emotion. Suicide. Wanting to give up. Just want to give up. Just want to give up. It's an evil emotion. I just want to give up. I just want to give up. It's an evil emotion. Are we together? We take authority over every evil emotion. Yes. In our lives. And also in the lives of our loved ones, of our family, of our disciples, of our friends and our colleagues. You know, sometimes in your workplace, someone walks up to you and says, oh, and then you probably observe someone is just moody all over and looks depressed and discouraged and almost, shattered, battered, looking bad and terrible. You know, sometimes you get into conversation, you happen to, get a glimpse of what's going on in the fellow's life. And I says, oh, I'm just tired. I think I can't go again. I can't go again. That's an opportunity. Are we together? That's an opportunity. You are God's man in that relationship. You are God's man in that association. You are God's man in that friendship. In that family. Sometimes the whole family. Like someone I spoke to some days ago. The whole family were deliberating on a decision. And the whole family were going to give up on something. Something very crucial. The whole family was going to give up. And I told her, I said, if... And I think that you are the answer, because talking about conversations. So, I said, you are the answer to that issue. Because if you allow the whole house to give up, and I said, in 5 to 10 years' time, what do you think will be the result if everybody gives up in that area? Everybody just give up. People, literally, some person in that home
was going to go after a fetish source to get a healing. No. I said, no. Send the phone number to me. Get the phone number to me. But before I get on the phone number, you put a call there and minister God's power. Are we together? Minister God's power. Minister God's power. Because if you allow the whole family to give up, the whole family now decides that let us allow that Babalawo. The whole family. A Christian home? No. Take it up right now. If you have to travel and talk to your cell leader, your union leader, you go. You go into that home and stay for as long as you want to stay. And restore that family order. Everyone must pray, must trust God, must be vibrant, must be fire. You are God's light. You see, that is who we are. Are we together, church? Because I'm there, there's no giving up. Look at me. If you work in an organization, the organization cannot give up because you're there. That school won't close down. You are there. You are there. That school will not close down. You are there. Are we together? That business will not shut down. It won't shut down. It won't shut down. You have the gifts of the Spirit. You have the words of the Spirit. Are we together, church? We are there to mirror God's character. The spirit of faith doesn't give up. It won't give up. The same way we don't give up on our relationships. We don't give up on our marital lives. We don't give up on our associations. We don't give up. We don't give up. We have God's dominion. We demonstrate God's dominion. Lift up your hands, give him praise tonight. Yeah. Because he has called us to function. He's called us to function. Yes. As his king, his priest, his prophet. We thank you, Father, for that blessed privilege, that of you. Yes. We are grateful. We see in our relationships to function. In our relationships to function. Blessed is the image of God.